Corinthians. And I'm going to teach you a verse. Now, many people will say to me, I can't memorize Scripture. I try, but I can't memorize Scripture. So I'm going to teach you a Bible verse. And I think I can guarantee that you will know this verse by the time we finish today. Okay? And I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you to read it with me, and then I'm going to ask you to put your Bibles aside and quote it with me. You'll get it that fast, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Okay, can you say that with me? Brethren, pray for us. Now, don't look at your Bibles. Don't look at your notes. I'm going to say this by memory, okay? Ready? Brethren, pray for us. You just learned a Bible verse. It was that easy. We did it in a few seconds, so you're much better at memorization than you thought you were, okay? When I began the ministry with International Baptist Missions, one of my concerns was just the realization, both as a Christian and as a pastor, realizing that oftentimes churches just don't have a relationship with their missionaries. I'm glad to hear that your church supports 11 missionaries. Do you know who they are?
Yes.
And do you pray for them? Do you really pray for them by name? And if you do, you are actually a minority in the average church. Because I think if you can go into the best churches in America and ask for an honest raise of hands, how many of you pray on a daily basis for at least one of your missionaries, the number of hands raised would be very few if you had an honest response. And I've asked myself the question, why? And there's a couple of reasons. One is out of sight, out of mind. I mean, it really is easy when they're not here. I mean, and I talked about yesterday, you just get busy with life, right? It's one of the reasons we don't look at the fields. We get preoccupied with life. So the fact that we don't see them, we're not reminded of them. The other reason is oftentimes we don't know what to pray for. Now, it is a little bit better in our day than it used to be because we have emails. Many missionaries are very good about sending prayer updates. I know we have a number of missionaries that, besides their bi-monthly prayer letters, they'll send almost a weekly update. We have a couple missionaries that send a weekly prayer update. Or they can do videos like you saw that. We have several missionaries that send out videos like that. And you can see them, hear their prayer requests. But oftentimes when you look at a prayer request, especially in a prayer letter, oftentimes it's already passed. I remember growing up getting prayer letters and prayer meeting in our church, and you look at it and pray for this is happening the first week of April, and here you are in the month of May, as that's already gone. And not knowing or not even having at our fingertips sometimes just specifics to pray for our missionaries, I think sometimes discourages us a little bit from praying. So I did a study early on in my ministry with IBM. I just had a burden to go through and see what did the Apostle Paul ask the church to pray for him? I ran into several requests. I mean, I was reading, I think it was this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. He's asking the church to pray for him. Did he ever mention anything specific that he asked the church to pray for? I began to go through all the Pauline epistles, and I actually came up with about 10 that are either directly stated or they are at least implied. Now, I preach this in different places around the country, and people would say, you need to have that written down. So I did. They're back on our table. And if you don't have even picked up one of these, take it and put it in your Bibles, how to pray for your missionaries. And there are 10 things on here and the scripture verse that help you remember to pray for your missionaries. And then on the back, we have all of our IBM missionaries. So in addition to your missionaries, if you take time to pray for our missionaries, I'd be even happier, okay? But it's kind of funny. We had a missionary, a friend of mine, who's actually was with Baptist Missions, and he saw this, and he asked if he could use these cards, these bookmarks. So I said, that's great. So he's going all around the country raising support, churches that, you know, don't even know who International Baptist Missions is, but they've got a list of all our missionaries on the back asking to pray for them. So I said, by all means. So I want to go through these quickly this afternoon. Don't faint. I know it's 10 points, but I will be briefly on each one, so it will not kill you, okay? We'll go through here quickly because I think it's important for us to understand really how we can effectively pray for our missionaries in a way that's pleasing to God, in a way that is scriptural, in a way that really meets the needs that they are facing as they serve the Lord. The very first thing that comes to our mind when you're praying for your missionaries is to pray that they would have opportunities to preach the gospel. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul says to them, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us," what? "That God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." Pray for opportunity. He prays for an open door. Pray that God will give us an open door. So what he's asking for is pray that God will give us opportunities to preach the gospel. Now, so don't he always have opportunities to preach the gospel? Understand what he's talking about. An open door is not just standing on the street corner and proclaiming the gospel. That may be effective in many opportunities, but he is praying for open doors. That is, divine appointments, divine opportunities where people are eager, listening, and ready to receive the gospel. There's a difference in standing up and preaching freely and preaching through an open door. Preaching through an open door is where the hearts are receptive, where the opportunity is divinely arranged, and where you're talking to someone who is eager and open and ready to receive the gospel. There are many divine opportunities, divine appointments that God brings our way, and that brings the way of your missionaries. We have seen our missionaries serve the Lord in a number of opportunities, and we have a ministry in Kenya that where we are able to go into schools and preach the gospel. Many of these schools are run by members of our churches, so the leadership of those churches are there, and they are eager for us to come, and they're going to follow up with the children. They give us a complete open door to preach, to give invitation, to do follow-up, to do Bible studies. God just has opened up many, many amazing doors. I remember being in Kenya, and we were at a college. It was a teacher's college. It was near a church plant. We now have a church built there. We have a church that's planted there, just literally a stone's throw from that college campus. There are about 1,000 teachers studying. It's a teacher's college. They're studying to be teachers. And we had asked for the opportunity to go in and preach the gospel there. Well, they set up a time. It was going to be outdoors. And we were eager for that, ready to go. And time comes for us to start. And we're kind of looking around, and it doesn't seem like anyone's there. This is probably maybe 20 minutes before the service was to start. And nobody is there. And honestly, it was a little bit discouraging. Oh, nobody's going to come. And then the college president comes by, asks us what time does this start again? And we told him again. And before we know it, he's on the PA system of the whole campus saying, this is a required activity. These people have come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. You must come and hear them. And he says, the Bible has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You need to come and get the foolishness knocked out of you. We have about every student on campus show up. And, I mean, what a blessing to watch these young people coming, carrying their chairs from just a handful of people to end up being literally about 1,000 people that were gathered there listening as we preached the gospel and receptive as the gospel was preached and many decisions were made. Amen. That's a divine opportunity. That's an open door. Okay, that's, I mean, you don't arrange that. You know, I don't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to have the president of the college come by and make this mandatory for all the students. That's an open door. Pray that God will give your missionaries open door. I can tell you story after story of our missionaries who have just had some such unique opportunities to give the gospel that you just, you know, you wouldn't believe. I think of our ministry in Indonesia and just the amazing open doors God has given to our team over there. You would not think that anyone with our background, not being Islamic, would be given the permission and the opportunity to do what our missionaries there have been able to do. But God has put them in just incredible places. One of our missionaries there is actually serving on a national council with several of the parliament members, members of the president's cabinet or prime minister's cabinet, serving on this council. I mean, that's just an open door. That doesn't happen through our own, you know, workings and manipulation. So pray that God would give open doors to your missionaries. Secondly, pray for them to have boldness. That same verse, Colossians chapter 4, verse 4, I didn't read the last part of that verse. He says, pray for God to give us an open door to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then in Ephesians 6:20, Paul prays that he might have boldness, that I may be bold in preaching the gospel. Paul asked God's people to pray that he would open his mouth boldly to speak as he ought to speak. You would think by nature a missionary, by their very calling, is naturally bold. I mean, they have to raise support, go on deputation. They leave home, go to a foreign country most of the time, and a place they're unfamiliar with. You would think that naturally they are bold. And for the most part, there is a natural boldness that many missionaries have. But the reality is, oftentimes they're in situations where they have to make decisions that could have dire consequences for them. We have missionaries serving in restricted access nations where they have to literally pray about who to witness to. And is this God's timing? Because if they open their mouth to the wrong person, they could end up being in jail or kicked out of the country or worse, perhaps. And so they have to have wisdom. And knowing that you're going to meet with somebody who is in authority to do you harm can be very intimidating, can cause you not to speak when that's what you're there to do, to give the gospel. So pray for your missionaries that they would be bold. You know, it's easy sometimes to be quiet, knowing that if you speak out and give the gospel that you could end up being persecuted, you could end up being arrested, you could end up maybe even beaten for what you're saying and what you're doing. That's why they need boldness, divine boldness. You know, Acts 4:31 talks about how the church, when they were prayed and filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word with boldness. We need boldness. Our missionaries need boldness to preach the word of God. Thirdly, you should pray for the word of God to have, the King James puts it, free course. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly or may have free course and be glorified, just as it is with you, that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not the faith. Pray that the word of God may run swiftly, that it may have free course, that it may go forth unhindered. Paul asks this request of the church. He desires that the word of God go forth unhindered and with power. It's like the parable of the sower and the seed. Satan seeks to hinder the sowing of the Word of God. And when the Word of God is proclaimed, the Satan, like the fowls of the air, are there to snatch the Word away from people's hearts. We need to pray that God's Word would have power, that it would go forth, that it would accomplish what God intends it to do. You see in many parts of the world very obvious evidence oftentimes of spiritual battles that are going on. It could be distractions when the Word of God is being preached. It could be just indifference as the Word of God is preached. Those are not accidents. I remember preaching one time at a large meeting in India. A lot of people gathered together. There were probably, I don't know, there was 700-800 people at least that were gathered there that night. And I just really came to a critical part of the message. And all of a sudden, this woman sitting right down here towards the front, she just stood up and just started screaming something. And what in the world is going on? And I saw two or three of the pastors go over to her, stand there. They put their arm around her shoulder. They're saying something to her, and then she quietly sits down. And I went on with the message. And afterwards, I said, "What was that about?" And they said, "Oh, that was just a lady from one of the villages. She's an idol worshiper. And she's demon-possessed. And she, you know, she was just causing problems, just causing interference." And I said, "Well, what did you do?" "We just quietly sat there and prayed with her until she quieted down, sat down. Tomorrow we'll go over and give her the gospel, try to lead her to Christ." And that's just natural. that's everyday business over there, you know. That's not what we deal with oftentimes, what we see here in this country. And so Satan would love to interfere with the Word of God as it's being preached. It could be through intimidation. It could be through interference like that. So someone just being disruptive by some manifestation of his power over a person's life. So pray that the Word of God would truly run swiftly, that it would have free course. Number four, pray for political stability of their nation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, he tells us to make prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Something many times people don't think about is to pray for political stability where your missionaries are serving. We're hearing all the time about countries, upheaval in countries. I used to talk about Kenya. Back when I first started with IBM, Kenya was having all kinds of riots because of the elections. And I remember our missionaries for several weeks, they basically were indoors. Most people were indoors because there were tribal fights, tribal people were roaming the country with machetes, just causing trouble because of disputes over the election. Well, while that was going on, there wasn't a whole lot of missions work going on. You know, people are just trying to cower inside. We don't have missionaries in Myanmar, but we have good friends. I've been in Myanmar. We have ministries that we have helped in Myanmar. And with what has happened in Myanmar over this last year, with the military coup there, the Bible College where we have worked at, where I've preached on several occasions, has pretty much been closed down. They've tried to do some classes online, but the regular ministry that they have done it's pretty much been curtailed because of the political upheaval of that nation. In fact, if you remember to pray for them, I just this morning got a notice that the military actually came onto campus. It's the first time they've actually physically been on campus of our Bible college there and interviewed students and went to the girls' dorm. They didn't see the guys' dorm yet, so they said they were going to come back and see the guys' dorm. Fortunately, they didn't do anything. They didn't cause any damage or hurt anybody. But they know we're there now, which is kind of a fearful thing. They've been able to keep under the radar up to this point, but you know, we don't know what that implies, what that means. But I mean that's a huge issue. Okay, political stability. Pray for your missionaries. Many of them are in places They may be in places that are going to be affected by what's happening in Europe. They may be affected by some of the stuff that's happening in Asia and other parts of the world. So pray for them. Number five, pray for protection. Protection specifically here from persecution. There in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, he mentions the fact that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not the faith. And then in Romans 15, Paul prayed there in verses 30 and 31 for likewise for protection. I'm trying to find the verse real fast for you. He says, I beg you, brethren, through the love of the Lord Jesus, through the love of the Spirit, you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea and who do not believe, and that my service with Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So he knew that there were people who were opposing him. He knew that there were great dangers. That is increasingly so with our missionaries today. Last time I was in India, back before COVID, it's the only time this has ever happened to me, but it's becoming a regular thing. And the part of India where I was, we checked into the hotel, and the hotel immediately contacted the local police. The local police contacted the pastor where I was going to be at the church, wanted to know what I was going to do every day. He told him I was supposed to speak at the Bible college. He says, no, he can't do that. He's a foreigner. He can't do that. Well, he's going to teach some of our staff or our staff training. No, he can't do that. Finally, he got him to agree to let me be a participant in their dedication. They were getting ready to build a new building. And so their mission agency has supplied a lot of money for this. So he said, okay, he can do that, but he can't teach or preach. So we moved all of our services out to the dedication grounds, set up there, and I preached and taught out there for their dedication. And they put guards at the gate, locked the gate to the campus, so that when the police came, they had to go through someone to get there. And they said, if the police do show up, because they say they're going to come, if the police do show up, we'll send someone to you so you can sit down or change what you're talking about or whatever. So we went ahead and had our service there. But they wanted to know where I was going to be, where I was going to go. After that, we went up to a bigger city, to Hyderabad, and we were staying there at a hotel. And, I don't know if we were just getting paranoid at that point, but every time we would go out, the doorman would say, where are you going today? What are you going to do? We don't know. It could have been friendly, But at this point, we were so paranoid, we didn't want to tell him what we were going to do. We were just going to see the sights, And we did. We saw lots of sights. So we weren't lying. We were honest. But we didn't tell him everything we were going to do, because we didn't know if we were going to be followed, be reported, But your missionaries are facing that on a regular basis. And some parts of India, it's worse than others. Some parts of India is totally free, no problems, depends on the state. But you're seeing this all over the world now. People serving in areas that once there was no problem, now there could be religious persecution, could be local groups, could be just local thugs who are causing problems, could be established authority. But pray for them to have protection from persecution. Pray also for, number six, pray for deliverance from severe trials. I made reference in the message this morning about a missionary where we went to visit who was very discouraged because of a situation that had arisen in the church, being falsely accused of some things. And, Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 1, he talks about how that, beginning of verse 12, he says, I want you, brethren, to know the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it's become evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ. and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, notice, even from envy and strife, some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Paul's in prison, and there are believers, there are those preaching the gospel who are using his imprisonment for their own advancement. See, you know, they've been jealous of Paul, the attention he's gotten, the authority he's had. We told you this guy wasn't to be trusted. He's in jail. God, if he was really of God, that wouldn't have happened. You know, you need to listen to us. That hurts. It hurts a missionary when a fellow missionary is accusing them falsely, there's other accusations that come up that harm their testimony and undermine their ability to communicate and minister freely in a country. Those are some of the things they can't write to you and talk about. You know, this missionary is undermining my whole family. He's accusing me. Or these people are doing this and trying to undermine our authority here. I wish it didn't happen. I wish I could say it doesn't happen. It does happen, sadly. Personal attacks. Personal trials. Personal struggles. But your missionaries face that. And it can be very taxing. It can be very discouraging. So pray that God would deliver them from that. Pray, number 7, for their health. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, talks about Epaphroditus. He says, I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger, the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus had been sick, and they prayed, and thankfully God answered their prayer, and he was healed. Mm-hmm. It's never fun to be sick. I don't care where you're at. If you're at home, it's not fun to be sick. But when you are traveling, it's not fun to be sick. If you are in a foreign country, it's even less fun to be sick. Mm. Especially sometimes in places where maybe the medical care is not sufficient, or the health care is not sufficient. Or it may be that simply your ministry there leads you to health issues. It could be an area that maybe is frequented by malaria or yellow fever. I don't know a missionary hardly in Zambia that hasn't had malaria at least 2 or 3 times. You know? And it's just like, you know, I was talking to a missionary from there not kind of a while ago, but they were saying, yeah, I mean, we can't give blood anymore. I've been a missionary in Zambia too long. I've had malaria so many times, nobody will take my blood. But you know, they just look at it as this is just life. But sometimes it can be very serious, especially if it's in a country where there's not medical care or medicines that are available. It could be just the conditions they live under. You know, I used to read, I talk about this in one of my missions classes. You know, I used to teaching young people about missions and some of the undergrad classes. I was just talking about this with some students. I used to be very, I'm still very confused, I guess, or divided in my mind about this. But some of the early missionaries would send their children to boarding schools, you know, and leave them boarding schools in England while they would go to India or Burma or some of these places, China. And some of their children grew very bitter over that. There's stories about that, and some of the kids went away from the Lord very angry with God. Their parents were serving God, didn't have time for them. And I used to struggle with that, but having been in that part of the world, I understand. I mean, I've gone there, you know, in modern times. But to live in these places before, you know, sanitation was understood and some of the diseases were understood and germs were understood. These were places where you just got sick. You were exposed by what you ate, by what you drank. And even people, you know, the uncleanliness around you could lead you very easily to get sick, very sick. And so I understand why the missionaries did that. I'm not sure that I'm in full agreement with them doing that, but I understand why they did it. And that's still an issue in many parts of the world today. And you need to pray for their health. Pray for God to sustain them, to strengthen them. Sometimes missionaries cannot stay on the field because of medical problems. We just have a missionary family that's home now. Many of you may know the Badokas, who are we're doing a great ministry in Kenya. And they're home right now trying to figure out Lexi's medical issues because just some of the problems that she had there on the field. So pray for their health. Number 8, pray for provision of their physical needs. Philippians chapter 4, Paul commends the church there, beginning at verse 14, for their gifts. He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but that I seek fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Paul is thanking them for their gift. Having asked God and prayed, the people prayed for them and they gave to them. Pray for the provision of their physical needs. I remember one of the very first mission trips I took. I came back, I was going through London. I had a layover in London. And it was getting near Christmas time. And I had a little bit of cash with me. Not much. I had about, I think, maybe $80, $70, $80, something like that, cash. And I thought, oh, it'd be fun for some Christmas presents. I'll buy a few little knickknacks here in the gift shop. Well, number one, it's a bad place to buy, you know, things like that, traveling overseas in an airport gift shop. But and secondly, you don't do it the way that I did it. I've learned since, you know, that was not a very smart way to handle your money. But I decided I was going ahead and buy some things. And so I got my $70 exchanged into British pounds. I never will forget the feeling I had when I got the pounds back. I think I got something like 35 pounds for my $75. I felt like I had been robbed. I really felt like I'd been robbed. I said, okay. So I go to the gift shop and I look at the items and I look at the price. Oh, the price seems really pretty reasonable. It's about what I would pay in the States for it. Then I realized all the prices were in British pounds, not in U.S. dollars. So I got half the money in exchange that I had, and I paid twice as much for the item. So you figure that out. That doesn't come out to a very good deal, okay? But many of your missionaries deal with that every month. When they get their support, and it has to be exchanged from U.S. dollars into whatever currency. Now, if they are in a nation where the currency is to their advantage, yeah, they're singing hallelujah. But that doesn't always happen. And the currency rates, even then, the currency rates oftentimes change. And so what seemed like a lot of money begins to dwindle as the currency rates change. Pray that God will provide for their physical needs. Number 9, pray for their personal safety. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 8 to 11, he talks about how that he served the Lord and was faithful, even in danger, even up to the point of death. He said, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, and whom we trust that he will deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us." Pray for their personal safety. How many times have you heard stories of the Lord burning the heart of one of his children to pray for their missionary at a time in which God delivered them from some type of terrible danger? And there are many stories in the annals of missionary biographies about that. I can tell you from personal experience, traveling in many countries today is not like it is like travel here in the United States, where people kind of stay in their own lanes when they drive. That's kind of unheard of in some parts. You know, every man does what's right in his own eyes. And sometimes it's not right. It's just what they want to do. I remember I was with a group of pastors. We were in a car. It was a van loaded with some Indian pastors. And we're on this two-lane road. Thankfully, this road has been expanded. It is now a four-lane highway. But at that point, it was a two-lane road. And we are driving down the road. We're going probably close to about 60, 65 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, there's this loud bang. Everybody who's about half jumps up, sits up in the car, looks around. I wonder what that was. I don't know what that was. Well, okay, everyone just goes on with their business. About 15 minutes later, we pull into a little town, and they get out to go get some beverages, something to drink and eat. And one of the men walks around the car, and he sees the side rearview mirror smashed. And he comes very nonchalantly and says, "Oh, that bang we heard, that car that passed us, it just hit our rearview mirror." "Oh, okay, that's all it was, okay." And everyone just kind of goes about. I'm thinking to myself, we were going about 65 miles an hour. That car coming the other direction hit the rearview mirror. That's how close it was. And it's like, no big deal. No big deal, you know. This is life in many parts of the world. I smile, though it's probably a good habit to do here, even in our country. But our missionaries in Kenya always pray before they get, don't they, Sana? They always pray when they get in the car. And they pray, "Lord, protect us on the high." And there's a good reason why they pray that way. I was riding one time with one of our missionaries, Josiah Wambua, and we weren't going fast, thankfully. We were in a traffic jam, and I mean, there was no way to figure out where you go in this thing. There was a truck trying to unload its load, so it was blocking the whole road. So people were deciding they were going to go around it. And Josiah was a master. I mean, it took us probably 15, 20 minutes to get around this truck. But he just, you know, carefully positioned the car. I don't think I'm exaggerating. If that car had one more coat of paint on it, we would have scratched it. It was that, you know, way to get to know your neighbor over there. "Hi, how are you?" Yeah, I mean, roll down the window and have a conversation. But just getting places sometimes is dangerous. You had the Reddicks here last year, or recently, sometime in September. Lisa told me a story of being on a bus ride in India, and I've never had that thrill of riding a bus in India. But they were riding through some mountain pass somewhere, and she said the driver was going around this curve too fast, and all of a sudden the bus starts to go out of control, and he's trying to bring the bus. And this is loaded with people. I mean, loaded with people. And he goes into a skid, and there is a drop-off. They're in the mountains, and there's a drop-off. You know, who knows how many hundreds, thousand feet down. And the bus is just going sliding. And Lisa says, "I'm sitting right by the window." And I say, "Lord, here I come. This is my day. We're going to heaven. I'll see you in a bit, okay?" And the bus stops right at the edge. And she said, "I'm looking out the window. Whoo, okay, that's where we could have gone." We don't even know about all the times our missionaries in situations like that. Yeah. You need to pray for their safety. And now especially with riots and with harm, with what's happening, like I said, in Europe, and you know, missionaries in Ukraine have just been in incredible danger, and some still are, that are still there. Pray for their safety. And then finally, pray for souls to be saved. Romans 10:1, Paul says, "My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That's why they're there. Pray for God to give them fruit. Amen. Pray that they will be saved. People will be saved. Pray that the word of God will take effect, and that people will be saved. So Paul summed it up, I think, very powerfully. Let's see if you still remember the verse. "Brethren, pray for us." Okay. You got it. Now we just need to do it, right?
That's right.
Let's pray for us. Let me challenge you. You have 11 missionaries. Divide it up however you want. If you want to do, doesn't work out evenly, do it one day, one, you know, day, that's 14, okay? You need to take on, you know, a few more missionaries so you get to 14. Like I say, do it two a day. But make the determination by God's grace. I'm going to pray on a regular basis for at least one of our missionaries. Not just, Lord, bless the missionary. We know that doesn't really cut it. But, Lord, meet the needs. Here's the missionary. And keep this list. Lord, pray for their safety. Lord, help them. Give them good health today. Lord, take care of their needs. Lord, help the word to go forth with great power today. Give them opportunities to preach the gospel. Open doors. Pray. Go through this list and pray specifically for your missionaries. And then listen. Read their prayer letters and see how God answers your prayers. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you help us